So needing the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit, I venture this afternoon to direct your thoughts and attention to the word which is found in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 33, reading verse 16. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 16. He shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. He shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. These words, dear friends, describe the portion of those for whom and with whom the Lord and to whom the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the one thing needful. And that which you have been singing speaks, and I felt it is in the last verse. He is needful. It speaks of Jesus Christ. He is needful as our all. May we cleave unto him. Every blessing, great and small, flows to Zion through him. Happy is the man indeed who has such a Saviour. Every blessing he can need dwells in him forever. Well, friends, I believe there that describes those two lines. Happy is the man who has such a Saviour, is found in the verse that I trust the Lord has laid upon me. It speaks of this man who has such a Saviour, that is, one whose Saviour is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what blessings, dear friends, there are for such. Yet they will find that the pathway is one where they continually need him. And I just refer for a moment or two to the preceding verse. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Friends, this will be the path of those whom the Lord has separated to himself. And this stands in contrast to some that the Lord has been speaking of. And in this chapter there is those alternating descriptions of those who are out of the secret, as it were, and those who are found with that blessed secret that is spoken of. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Well, we have read of some of those solemn things that pertain to those who are not in that the covenant of grace. Their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Oh, dear friends, are these things I feel we need to consider. But the Lord alone can bring salvation. And how he comes in verse 10, "Now will I rise, saith the Lord." Oh, it so indicates, does it not, that whatever we may have failed in, however sad sometimes are the consequences of when we are left to ourselves, to backslide, to forget God. But the time comes when the Lord sees fit once more, as it were, to lay claim to his Zion. "Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself." And then we have read the Lord speaks of those who will be, even in Zion, the sinners in Zion are afraid. "Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" And dear friends, this speaks of those in Zion, seemingly so. But the Lord then turns to another character. "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil." We may even in this feel to tremble, because if you and I are taught something of what sinners we are, we know not in ourselves how to walk righteously. We have nothing within us. We are all unrighteousness. Do you feel it, poor needy sinner? Now, you see, dear friends, these are those whom the Lord has begun that good work. These are they who have that tender fear of the Lord imparted. And their desire is that they might be found in these ways, that they might be amongst these people, that they might be given grace to separate from the world, and not to look at the gain of oppressions, or to shake and to shake their hands from holding of bribes. You may say to me, "Well, we are not in the world like that." But dear friends, if the Lord has taught you and I, as we have our path in the world, you know, if the Lord shows us our spirit, we can find that we may have men's persons in admiration for gain. If we are left to ourselves, sometimes it is most subtle. But friends, we need to be kept. And our desire when the fear of the Lord is in exercise, will be that we might be separate from anything that is of man, and that our path and our life and our walk and our conduct and our conversation might be that which becometh the children of God and those who have been brought to see and know something of their need of a precious Christ. Now, such a one is described there in that 15th verse. And I feel just to mention that last clause, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. And I think of our younger friends in this. There are so many images today in the various types of media. It is so easy to look at this and that and the other. But dear young friends, do seek to turn your eyes from them. The tender fear of God will make you want to turn away from beholding those things that only speak of evil, that are a demonstration, however subtle it might be. They show the effects of those who are under Satan's dominion, and a child of God will want to get as far away from it as you can. Now, that thought then has come, but you see, friend, here is a promise to these inhabitants of Zion whom the Lord has brought to himself, whom the Lord has begun to work within. Quicken them by his grace. May them to feel something of what a sinner they are and their need to be delivered from the power and the guilt of sin. He shall dwell on high. He shall dwell on high. Well, my thoughts, when I pondered upon that for a moment or two, after some while, perhaps it was, but my thoughts went to Psalm 91, which I have read. And there, dear friends, the Lord sets before us these favoured people. The safety of the godly, it says at the top of the page of the Bible in this pulpit. The safety of the godly. Oh, dear friends, the truly godly are those whose righteousness is all in Christ. That we're unholy needs no proof. We sorely feel the fall, but Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, friends, what a favour, not only for time, but for eternity. But these favours that are expressed in the psalm which I have read, oh, what blessings, what preservation, what keeping, and then in those last few verses, what wonderful blessings, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Oh, dear friends, that precious name of Jesus. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, friends, he shall dwell on high. There is in that those few verses, particularly at the end of that psalm, is a very blessed description of the Lord's people who are brought to love him and to acknowledge with one in the word, we love him because he first loved us. We love him. Oh, can you say that this afternoon? Poor a sinner as you are, but you have to say, we love him. Now, these few verses, I remember them so well in Psalm 91. There was a dear servant of God, Mr. George Godley, who had a life of much trial, the little I knew about it. But he preached upon those last three verses of Psalm 91 at Tenterden many years ago. But it was a day I've never forgotten. Oh, friends, the blessedness of one whom the Lord has loved from all eternity. The blessedness of a sinner saved by grace. He shall dwell on high. And dear friends, so it is in the truth of it. And one of the things is safety. He shall dwell on high. What is the cry of one who feels to be overwhelmed? Are you there? Are there one or another here this afternoon? And in your experience you say, well, I'm not in any high place. I'm in such a low place. When my heart is overwhelmed, what's the cry of the dear psalmist? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me. And friends, if that's your desire, the Lord will surely fulfill it. I will deliver him. I will set him on high. He shall dwell on high. To be brought up out of that miry, the pit, of that miry clay. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he hath set my feet upon a rock. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He shall dwell on high. Oh, friends, there's such a clear, definite word there. He shall dwell on high. And so, friends, these poor sinners, it will be again, I think, of Hannah. What a low path she was in. She came into the house of God. And in that distressed and needy and that destitute place, she cried unto the Lord, and she has those bitter things, but she has to pour them out. Oh, friends, she was mistaken by Eli, but she says to him, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And yes, she truly had. She was in bitterness of soul. She was, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. But the Lord did not leave her there. The Lord did not leave her to sink. The Lord did not let her adversary rejoice over her for long. It may have been a number of years, and yet in the light of eternity, it was not long. But then when she was delivered, oh friends, what a song she could sing. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Oh friends, he shall dwell on high. This blessed character, this favoured character. And so the Lord brings and raises up everyone of his dear people and sets them upon the rock Christ Jesus. Well, there is no higher place than that. Is there? That blessed Saviour who is now at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, there to intercede for his dear people still. He shall dwell on high. He shall dwell on high in those intercessions of his Lord and Saviour. Oh, that, those words in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, we read there of both the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ interceding for poor sinners. And dear friends, he shall dwell on high. Yes, in those intercedings in heaven above. Yes, we sometimes sing it in that last hymn in the book. What voice is that which speaks for me? In heaven's high court for good, and from the curse has set me free. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. He shall dwell on high. Well, the word goes on. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. I do not often refer to commentaries, and I did not refer to the commentary today regarding this. But all I can say, friends, about this middle clause is my thoughts went, since I've been here, to young David, the stripling, as I was sitting in the vestry. And I felt, whatever do I know to understand of this part of the verse? His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Well, what do we read, dear friends, regarding David, the shepherd boy, who stood before the Lord and Goliath, that great giant, the champion of the Philistines? Well, what a blessed word it is, and what a revelation of how the Lord works. David could not go in the armour of King Saul. Oh, he found he could not go. He had not proved it. But the Lord led him. to choose 5 smooth stones from the brook, his place of defence. Oh, friends, have you come to that brook? Have you come to that place where you seek to know and to find the Word of God? He chose him 5 smooth stones from the brook. And friends, that was his defence. And not only his defence, but it was his attack. Yes, it was the means whereby David, for the children of Israel, turned defence into attack and presently conquest. Well, those stones, he only needed one, as God gave him that unerring aim, and the stone sank into the forehead of the giant and he fell to the earth. Yes, dear friends, his place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Whatever we might face in our life and path, whatever enemy may stand in our way, may it be that we shall desire to fight only with the Word of God. No sword nor spear the stripling took, but chose a pebble from the brook. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. But then there are 2 further promises in this little verse, and I do want to venture to them and with them, as the Lord may help me. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Oh, friends, what a wonderful promise that the Lord gives to his people. Bread shall be given him. This is, I believe, it really speaks of the bread of heaven. It does not speak of the earthly bread, which under the curse we are all condemned in one sense to labour for. God said to Adam, and it is a word that still today does hold. Whatever means man invents to make work easier, again and again people prove that to labour for the earnings of the needful to live, it is the curse is there. Man cannot avoid it, not even the Lord's people. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, until thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Well, friends, in that sense, we all groan under the solemn consequences of the fall. But here there is a blessed gift. Here there is no labouring. Here there is no sweat of the brow. Bread shall be given him. Yes. Free. Graciously set before a poor sinner. And the gospel table is still being spread. I read this morning at home, Isaiah 55. Ho, ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Oh, dear friends, what a wonder it is, the table that the Lord spreads in Zion, it's still the same. And though it may be sometimes but a crumb, That crumb costs the dogs nothing. It falls. It falls from their master's table. Bread shall be given him. Oh, have you blessed God for one of those crumbs? Didn't cost you a thing, did it? But oh, what good it did. When you were in need, hungry, oh, famished, a crumb. And now may it be with some, still with the hymn writer, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave. Unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. And yet he freely bestows those provisions. And if I think of your late dear pastor here, dear Mr. Tyler, and there are the book that you know of the portions, Handfuls of Purpose, I think one of them is called, or they are called. You see, dear friends, the Lord so freely gives. He gives the word to his servants, as he did to the young men when Ruth was gleaning, let fall also some handfuls of purpose for her. His bread shall be given him. Oh, the blessedness of this. And oh, friends, in the fullest sense, it's Christ. It's the Lord Jesus. I am the bread of heaven. And he laid down his life. And when we come to sit at the Lord's table, and next Lord's Day, God willing, it will be so. But the words of Jesus, as recorded, when the bread is broken and given to those to partake of, this is my body, which is given for you, which is broken for you. Perhaps I just turn to those words that I get it clearly. You see, friends, this is the blessed, freely, the Lord Jesus Christ laid his down his life and gave himself that blessed sacrifice. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Bread shall be given him. Oh, friends, a thought has come to mind. I hardly know whether to express it or not. I would ask with grace. The question comes into my mind. How many, dear friends, amongst you here now will find before your dying day, those who are not yet joined in confession of faith to the church here below, how many will one day find that that communion bread will be given to you? The plate comes round, it's given. Bread shall be given him or her. How many may yet find that to be so? Well, and the final clause says, his waters shall be sure. His waters shall be sure. Oh, dear friends, there is no foreseeing or happening of the child of God going thirsty. Well, not to have that need never to be supplied. His waters shall be sure. And oh, dear friends, the Lord Jesus, who so spoke as he did to the dear woman, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. His waters shall be sure. And yet let us just consider, because this came to my thoughts just now, the path that the Lord Jesus Christ walked, that these gifts might so freely be given to his dear people, what a cost it was to him. And even in this, when Jesus hung upon the cross, you remember, at one point he said, I thirst. Oh, dear friends, what anguish he must have been in at that moment, no tongue can tell. And yet it was all to accomplish this blessed gift, the gift of eternal life. And here below, these supplies, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. And friends, so it will also be in heaven above that we read the Saviour will lead his dear people, feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He shall dwell on high for a never-ending eternity. Amen.